Hello, Columbus. Hello, Chattahoochee Valley. All my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line, I hope that you guys are doing well. We are just a couple days away from Santa making his big visit to the Chattahoochee Valley area. I know that all the kids are excited. Certainly, my daughter is very excited, and she shamed me so bad that I had to go ahead and put a Christmas tree up for her. So we got that up, and she's very, very happy. Just want to say to you guys, let's make sure that we are monitoring our activities, make sure we're wearing our mask, make sure that we are socially distancing and using the hand sanitizer and washing our hands, because the COVID numbers are on the rise again. And just this past week, we saw over 3,000 deaths in one day, which was the highest the United States had ever hit with the COVID pandemic. And so until we can get this vaccination out and get it to people so that it's actually useful, we still got to do our part. Dr. Fauci said just yesterday on TV that he don't think that we've seen the full impact of the Thanksgiving gatherings that most recently happened. So let's make sure that we watch that, especially with Christmas time coming up. We want to protect our family. But you guys, if you haven't noticed, there are still political signs out everywhere, and they're out for a reason. It's because we have a big runoff coming here in Georgia. We have two Senate seats that are on the ballot that could potentially have a huge impact on the power in our federal government. As you know, this past election, Joe Biden did win Georgia. It was confirmed three times on the original vote tally, on an audit count, and then on a recount. So we are pretty confident that the vote totals are correct, and he is the winner of Georgia. And so we have this big election coming up now for two United States senators. And there are a lot of different groups that are doing amazing work with voter education, voter ID education, get out to vote, and just basically working with the community on making sure that we understand the importance of voting and making sure that people who want to vote, that you do not have any complications. This past Monday was the last day to register to vote. However, those of you who have requested absentee ballots, they should be coming soon. Early voting is going to start tomorrow. Early voting starts tomorrow, December the 14th. You can early vote at the Citizen Service Center. You can early vote at the Convention and Trade Center. You can early vote at the Frank Thomas Recreational Center, which is right now Benning Road by the new Walmart on Victory Drive. And you can also early vote at the health department. So I want you to keep that in mind, that you can go and get that vote in early if you would like, in person, so that you do not have to wait in long lines on election day. But I'm excited to have a couple people on the phone with me today. One is a young lady here that I truly, absolutely love. She's just been amazing to our community. She's a phenomenal leader. She's been heading our local Urban League now for a while, and that is Miss Susan Cooper. And I'm also excited to be joined today by a great friend of mine, local guy, grew up here in Columbus, Georgia. He's an attorney as well. His name is Tony Mitchell. And we have Mr. Yandrick Parisian. Did I say that right, Yandrick?
Parisian, but that's good enough, brother.
Say it one more time for me.
Yandrick Parisian.
Parisian. Okay, I can get that right. All right, Yandrick. Well, thank y'all so much. The Urban League has a lot going on here. Who wants to jump in and talk about some of the exciting things that we have going on with the Urban League?
Yeah, I'll get us started here. First off, I truly, truly appreciate this opportunity to come on and talk about what we're doing. Us as a team here collectively in Columbus, I can't say in Columbus yet because I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'll be deployed hopefully this weekend out to Columbus. I'm with the National Urban League, and we started a campaign called Reclaim Your Vote. It's a national civic engagement campaign geared towards galvanizing, energizing, gathering people across the nation to vote, to be energized to vote, to know about their local, state, and national elections. We're not just talking about, you know, the presidency. We're talking about the school board. Being involved and engaged in the future of your community, of your schools, of your nation. So we've done this across the nation, and we did this during the presidency, during that election. And as we know, as you mentioned at the top of this this call, that our job is not over. We have much more work to do in the state of Georgia, and I'm excited to hear about all the different organizations that have flooded the state, and you're seeing a lot of political ads and hearing about different things that are happening, and it's all for good reason. I hope we all understand the implications here and what can happen and which way things can go if we don't take action and do what we need to do as citizens, as individuals, to make our voices heard. You talked about those key dates. Tomorrow the in-person voting starts, and that's crucial. We've got, you can request your absentee ballot now. That's crucial. You can do that right now. We've worked with our affiliates across the nation, but we're now specifically working with our affiliates in Georgia, and I am specifically working with the great President Susan Cooper here in Columbus. We're doing what we can to work on three counties in particular. Skokie, and I've been battered, and they beat it in my head to make sure I'm pronouncing these counties correctly. So it's Skokie, Houston, and Bibb County.
Oh, good job, man.
So these counties, this is where we're placing our focus on. We've got other individuals like myself that are spread across the state that are doing what we can to galvanize, to energize, to get people out to vote, to make sure that they're not being intimidated. They know their rights. If you're having any issues at the polls, you give us a call. And we're here to make sure that your vote is protected. So that's the emphasis. That's what we're doing here.
And Yandrick, I'm very glad that you talked about the importance of local elections, because, you know, we see politics not only in the candidates, but we see politics in laws, and we see politics in the operations. Because there was a point in which our mayors and our city council people and our school board people were actually partisan races. You had to run as a Democrat or a Republican. And so they moved to nonpartisan races because, you know, if we can hide someone's political identity, then, you know, we can fool them on voting for us. And we've seen that happen quite a bit around the state where, folks that will hold up a party banner, you know, any other time. But then when it comes to these nonpartisan races, you know, oh, we don't want to talk about that right now. And it impacts the results of the leadership that people are looking for with the community. But one thing I'm extremely proud of is this last election, especially during the primary, we saw more turnout in Muskogee County than we had seen in a long time when it came to the primary election. And people were engaged and people were excited. And I guess the question becomes, how do we continue that excitement? Because even once we get beyond January the 5th, it's time for us then to start turning our attention to 2022. Because we will have a big gubernatorial race, as well as other state races up and down the ballot. And again, of course, the congressional races will be on the ballot again. And one of these Georgia Senate seats will be on the ballot again, particularly the one with Kelly Loeffler right now and Reverend Raphael Warnock. Whoever wins that will be on the ballot again in two more years, because this election here is just to fill the remainder of Johnny Isaacson's term, which is there is only two years left. So how do we keep their energy?
I tell you what, the energy comes from the organization, and it comes from the people. The energy that we put out, the same energy that we put out to drive individuals to the polls, it all started from knowledge, from understanding the importance of what we're doing. I think people have been tired and have had fatigue with the way things are going, the way things have been, with the lack of whatever it is that they're looking for, that they've needed, whether it's, you know, jobs, economy, healthcare, et cetera. And people want to make a difference. And I think that message was has been projected clearly that if we want to make a change, we cannot complain. We cannot complain about anything if we're not going to participate at the very level of voting. We cannot complain about not having X, Y, and Z, that we don't have access to X, Y, and Z, that things are not working out if we're not doing the first part, which is voting and getting the right people in office. After that, we hold them accountable. We make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. We hold their feet to the fire. But it's getting that message out and keeping that energy going and keeping having people understand that everything is important. This runoff is important. And these conversations that we're having is important for people to hear and to understand what's at stake. Susan, Tony, you guys can chime in. I've been running my mouth here for a while.
No, it's fine. It's fine because I'm actually about to turn to Susan right now. Because, you know, you gave her some amazing accolades at the beginning of your talk, which were all very warranted. But however, I just want to tell you to step back because Susan belongs to us. She's not going anywhere. And what I want to say to Susan is, you know, leadership on a local level matters extremely, especially it's important that that person truly understand his or her community. And Susan, you have demonstrated your superior knowledge of our community during some of the roughest times that we've had here. Apartment fires where, you know, tens or hundreds of families were displaced and other major events here in the city. The Urban League has been there front and center making it happen. And of course, you know, I am a huge fan of the summer jobs program, and I have worked to even help secure additional funds for that summer jobs program, making sure that our young folks get the realistic job preview that they need as they're transcending into their fields of study and areas where they want to go. Susan, I know you have to be proud of our community and the response that you have seen from people being galvanized and excited about what's happening. I just want to hear from you a little bit from the perspective of the president of the Urban League. You know, what's your thoughts on what we're doing right now as a community as far as being engaged?
Yes, Tony and Yondrick and Teddy, thank you so much for the accolades. But I'm truly humbled to be a servant of our community and a help to our people. And the Urban League's mission just happens to align with what I believe. Our mission is to equip, educate, and empower the economically disadvantaged and underserved community and make sure that our community have access, equal access to equal opportunities in the area of jobs, decent and affordable housing, affordable and even free access to health care and education. And that's one of the things that we've been working so hard for in this community. We've actually united the community, other civic and civil rights leaders in our community, coming together to make sure that our community has what it needs to succeed. We are going down into the deepest depths of the community to make sure that all people have access. One of the things that we did during the general election and we're also doing this year, during the runoff, is we're making sure that the Columbus public housing community is protected and also have access. What I mean by protected, we're making sure that COVID-19 testing is available for the Columbus public housing community. We have over 6,000 people living in public housing, and we want to protect our community and make sure that our communities have access to everything, again, that they need. We went out into the community and made sure that voter registration was available to 942 families and made sure that information was provided and encouraging, energizing, and mobilizing our community, our Black community, the entire community to get out and vote and to vote early. And we want to replicate what we did in the general election. You know, Columbus City, Muskogee County, 62% of registered voters got out to vote. So we turned out 62%. And That's huge based on what the turnout has been in the past.
Absolutely.
So we want to encourage our community and especially our Black community. Y'all, let's get out. Let's vote. Let's vote early. Make sure that you've already requested your absentee ballots. If you have not, request them, turn them in early, and then track your absentee ballots to make sure that your vote is counted.
Yeah, and you know, when you hit that 62% there, you really touched a spot. Yes, it was very high in comparison to past elections, but that still leaves about 50,000 people that are registered that are not voting right here in Columbus alone. And if you look at the margins, the very slim margin in which Joe Biden did win Georgia, and the very slim margin in which, you know, Stacey Abrams just did miss being our governor 2 years ago, those votes alone could have been made up right here in Columbus. That's why it's so important that our people get out and make your voices heard, because leadership certainly matters, you know, from the state level down, all the way down to what our friend was saying at the beginning of the call. Now, I think you guys are going to be doing some phone banking as well. And there's some training and things of that nature that will be coming up in regards to the virtual phone training. Phone bank training. Who's going to be talking about that for us today?
Yeah, I can chime in about that. That's crucial. The phone bank calls are crucial, especially now during COVID. The old way of knocking on doors, canvassing, and, you know, and coming with the clipboard and encouraging people to vote, we can't do that anymore. So we've got to contact people where they are. So we've got phone banks set up, where we've got training set up, and what we're trying to do, the goal is to make over 50,000 calls between today and January 5th into those three counties, Muskogee, Houston, and Bibb, to educate, to galvanize, to make sure they know where they need to vote, to make sure that, you know, there's a huge drop-off. Individuals felt like they voted for this presidential election. Okay, I did my job, I did my piece. I don't have that same energy as you mentioned, Teddy. So we need to make that second call and have them understand how important it is to come back out. So they know where to vote. They've created a plan. So they've identified where their early voting locations are or where their locations are on January 5th. And they've pulled people with them. They're taking, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, a busload of people to these polls, COVID safe, of course. So that's the plan, and that's what we're trying to articulate and tell everyone during these phone bank sessions. So I will have that information. This information, Teddy, I believe, will be provided on the website. So the links to the training sessions, we've got daily training sessions that occur at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every day except for Sunday. And once you're trained, this training takes about 30 minutes or less. It's super easy. The platform is super, super easy to use. My children, who are 16 and 14, have been trained on this platform, and they're using it. So you'll have access to this platform, and you can begin making calls and you'll follow a script that we provide you with, which is super easy to read and to use. And yeah, we just made it really, really simple.
Now, what website is that on? Is that on the nationalurbanlead.org, Reclaim Your Vote? Is that where they can find the information?
That information is not currently on that site. I will work to get that information on that site. We are going to have that info provided on your site, Teddy.
Okay, the radio station site. I got you.
Yeah. And also via social media, we're working with you all to send out some social media posts that will contain the links to training and all of that. And also, and they can contact me. My contact information will be there, so you can contact me as well, and I can walk you through the process.
Well, great. So you can just simply go to our K92.7 website, our Foxy 105 website, our Praise 100.7 website. Any of those websites, you'll be able to find the link where you can participate in phone banking and make sure that, you know, we're engaging our community and getting everyone involved. So we have our partners here with us with the National Urban League. We also have Black Voters Matter with us here, one of the founding partners, Ms. Latasha Brown. And I tell you guys, they have been showing so much love to the Columbus community. I don't know if you missed that huge turkey giveaway that was done over at Metropolitan Baptist Church, but Black Voters Matter was all over that. When we did our drive-throughs with the community back during the general election in November, they were all over with us as well, participating. And I'm honored to have with us as well Ms. Latasha Brown, one of the co-founders of Black Voters Matter. How you doing today, Ms. Brown?
I am doing well. I am doing well. It's the holiday season. I'm alive. I'm well. And, you know, and we're getting ready to kick off our 12 days of Christmas in Columbus. So I am, today is a good day.
Well, thank you so much for all that you're doing here. God is certainly amazing at this time in our life. And the work that you are doing, Ms. Brown, you are to certainly be commended for everything that you're doing, your vision, your hard work. You're doing the work that a lot of people don't see as sexy or popular, but you saw the need as one of the co-founders to be a voice specifically for the African-American community, the Black community, to say we can have advocates too, and that is okay. So we appreciate you for that. We love you here in Columbus. You are welcome here anytime. What else you want to share with us about what Black Voters Matters have going on?
You know, I just want to share the first thing, and I know we said it before, we can't say it enough. I want to say thank you to the people of Columbus. You all showed up and showed out in the general election. And y'all, we got to do it again. Let's do it again, as the Staple Singer says. So I think that it's really important that we really recognize that this election that is coming up is critical for people in Georgia. This isn't about just whether the Democrats or the Republicans. This is literally what is on the ballot. It's really about us. When we think about in the state of Georgia right now, last week, over 4 million people in the state of Georgia applied for unemployment. When we're looking at the number of businesses, and Black businesses were disproportionately impacted, and over 80% of Black businesses did not receive a dime in the stimulus package. When we're looking at how it's economically impacted our homes, how it's economically impacted our businesses, how COVID-19 has also had a devastating impact on our community. In April, 80% of all of the hospitalizations related to COVID-19 were African Americans. We're only 30% of the population. I'm raising that because I want to tell folks that this is critical for us, that we need leadership because our community has been devastated and we've been robbed, I think, of resources in COVID-19 because of the lack of leadership. So we've got business to take care of. We got some things that we got to finish. And so I just want to encourage people to know that this election is critical. In some ways, it's probably even more critical than what we were dealing with in the presidential election, because these two Senate seats will decide where the resources come in the state. They will decide how those resources are allocated. They will decide what kind of policy that they will fight for the people of Georgia, and we deserve better leadership. People who are in office, who are not trying to enrich themselves, but are literally making sure that the people are okay. And so we want to encourage people. We are in the season of giving. We are in the season of joy. We are in the Christmas season. So we will be there on Sunday. I'm so excited. We are coming in the blackest bus in America. We're going to have a soul. I hear the word is that soul Santa Claus is going to be with us, and the word on the street is that he's going to have some toys.
All right.
We're also going to make sure that we've got some special giveaways and food for people, and then just be able to have in a safe, socially distanced environment to really be able to lift each other up, to encourage and inspire each other in this season that's been very difficult for us, but also to get together and literally talk about the business that we've got to do, because on December the 14th, on this Monday, early voting began. And so we want to make sure that everybody is aware of that. We need folks to vote early. The best gift they can give this holiday season to their families is the gift of democracy, the gift of having somebody that's going to go to Washington, D.C. and fight for the people, not themselves.
All right. Well, Miss Latasha, thank you so much. You know, when I see women like you and Susan Cooper and Kamala Harris and Michelle Obama and so many strong women, I know that my four-year-old daughter has plenty of examples to look out there and say, you don't have to be limited by anything. You can be whatever you want to be. You can get involved politically. You can get involved with supporting your community. It's not a male-dominated world, and women have something to say, too. So thank you so much, Ms. Latasha Brown and Ms. Susan Cooper. Thank you y'all so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, ma'am. Now, Tony, I want to come to you for a second, my friend, Mr. Tony Mitchell here. I know, Tony, you're from Columbus. This is your hometown. You went away to school and got that Juris Doctorate. And, you know, brother, I know exactly what you went through, those torts and contract classes. but Tony, it's often stated that people and folks feed upon this, that folks 35 and under, that, you know, it's so hard to get them out to vote. But what we have realized and what we've witnessed is that when that age group is energized, they can flip elections. I want you to speak specifically to that age group and explain to them why it's so important that they get out this election cycle.
Oh, certainly. I mean, Teddy, I appreciate you for, having me on today. It's good to kind of break bread with you again, brother. And I think, one thing that we can really speak to is just the power of early voting. You know, you talked about it earlier just with some of the numbers, with us having 62% in Columbus and just those margins of being able to flip elections with the voting base in Columbus on its own. So, I think one thing that we saw in the recent election cycle was just the importance of early voting, whether that was in person or via mail-in ballots. We've heard a ton of talk about fake news and valid election data. But I think the results truly do tell the story, And, we have one party that tried to downplay the effectiveness of the Postal Service and really honed in on a message of voter fraud. And we had another party who did the complete opposite. They embraced the fact that for safety reasons and given our state's history of voter suppression, especially in black and brown communities, that voters should get things knocked out early and avoid those long lines on election day. So, I think the process will never be perfect, especially when, Election Day is not a national holiday, which, Teddy, that's something that a topic that we can save for another day.
Absolutely.
But, in this year's presidential election, we saw the value of getting out to vote early. And I think it becomes much more important during this runoff because of the reduction of large early voting precincts across the state. I think I saw something earlier that said, in 4 of 10 of the most populated counties in the state of Georgia, early voting locations are being decreased, which is odd. We have such a big election with this runoff, and here we are having early voting locations being decreased.
Well, it's not odd, Tony. That's intentional. That's intentional because they want to suppress the vote. They want to discourage people from voting. Cool. All this talk about the election being rigged, it's not just to pander to a certain political party. It's also to discourage those people in general that sometimes feel that their vote doesn't count. See, those people made a difference this time. They came out and voted and they saw that vote did make a difference. And so now we don't want them to come out again. So let's tell them that the vote was rigged. The other party supposedly won by a landslide, but can't nobody tell me the numbers, or they can't show evidence toward what votes are rigged. You got states taking unprecedented, ridiculous legal steps of suing other states, trying to tell them how their elections are supposed to run. I mean, the audacity of the Texas Attorney General, that's another conversation too. But yeah, he deserve a dragon, and because it's shameful that people that studied the same law that you and I studied will try to twist it in a way to their benefit and make arguments before the Supreme Court because they think that the Supreme Court is in their favor based on the president who appointed them. But democracy is at stake here. The foundation of our country is at stake here. And we can't settle for that.
Teddy, I'll leave you with this. I know the great rapper said, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. And I'll leave you with three of them. The difference in percentage of mail-in ballots requested between 2020 and 2016, we saw a 589% jump. This year, we saw around 2.6 million in-person early votes. And we saw around 1.3 million mail-in ballots accepted. So we can talk about voter fraud. We can talk about fake news. We can talk about just the narrative in general. But I think at the end of the day, when we see those numbers, we realize what an impact early voting and getting out there and handling in our business early really does to our communities. So I know we've talked about dates throughout this interview a few times, and I'll leave people with, you know, a few of them again. On December 14th, that's the first day to early vote here in Georgia, and that will last until January 1st. And January 1st is also the deadline to request a mail-in ballot. So we got time, y'all, but I think the time is of the essence because Election Day is right around the corner on January 5th, and we really have the power in our communities, as we've seen, to really be the impact that we want to see in the state of Georgia. You know, I think, you know, it would have, no one would have, you know, if we would have talked about this a couple years ago, people may have laughed at us if we would have said Georgia was going to be a blue state. But here we are, brother. Here we are.
Here we are.
So now it's time to kind of continue the push forward and really help flip these Senate seats to bring this thing full circle.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us for this edition of Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. And just a few reminders, early voting starts tomorrow. And those are the four locations you can go to. Again, the Citizen Service Center, the Trade Center, Frank Thomas Recreational Center on Benning Road, right by the Walmart on Victory Drive, and a new health facility on North Veterans. You can go there and early vote and cast your vote. If you requested an absentee ballot, please make sure that you follow up on that, because we are in the holiday season and we know that all mail slows down around this time of year, particularly with people ordering more Christmas gifts online versus going shopping. So I don't want your ballot to get caught up. If we are in the new year, if we have rung in the new year and it's 2021 and you are just receiving your absentee ballot, please do not put that back in the mail. At that point, you just need to either go drop it off. We have several ballot, secure ballot drop-off locations, one in front of the Citizen Service Center and one also coming out of the parking garage of the Citizen Service Center. You don't even have to get out of your car. Just drive through the garage, and on your way out, the ballot drop box will be to the left. It's important that you do not put that ballot in the mail once 2021 hit, because I'm afraid it will not get there in time, and you want your vote to count. This has been a special edition of Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, with representatives from the National Urban League, as well as Black Voters Matter co-founder, Ms. Latasha Brown. I want to thank all of you guys again for joining us today, and make sure we are all excited this week about early voting. Call your cousins, call your friends, call your aunties, your uncles, your grandparents, mm-hmm. your relatives, yep. your first cousins, call everybody and tell them, please go vote. This is very critical. This is more important than anything going on with T.I. and Tiny, anything going on with Housewives of Atlanta. This is more important than any versus competition, any rap competition. This is more important than your church anniversary. I need you to go vote. We're talking to everybody. We're talking to everybody. If you are registered to vote, we need you to go vote. This is extremely important. The next couple weeks, all we will be talking about is voting. Again, this has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I want to thank you again for listening, and we will connect with you again next Sunday. Take care.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns, or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.